Welcome to the weekly message here on the Experience of the Soul podcast channel. Today's message is Count the Blessings, Keys to the Kingdom, Week 6, and was recorded on Sunday, February 9th, 2020 at CCU Orlando. And now, Senior Minister and Spiritual Leader, Reverend Cynthia Alice Anderson.
So right now, if you will, just lift up a word of a blessing in your life, something you're grateful for. Just speak it aloud. Family, for love and support, for Josh. Spiritual community, yep. So I want you to just notice how that feels when you do that. It's hard to feel bad when you're acknowledging all the good around you, isn't it? Say to the person next to you, don't forget to name the good. Say, name the good. Name the good. Name the good. Name the good. Yeah, name the good. So I'm trying to remember what week it is. I think this is week 6. It is in a 7-week series. And, you know, we started out this series with a lot of outer things. You know, do this, do that, give your time, your talent, yes, vision, but it was about a lot of doing and a lot of outward things. And then last week, we took it in a little deeper, and we said, well, to really let things go, because week 4 was about letting things go, and by the way, Don Barton did a great job on the message, didn't he? He's really, really a wonderful, wonderful minister and speaker. He doesn't have the official paper yet, but I already told the school, if it were me, I'd give him the paper now and say, go do it. You're ready, you know. So we took that. He did a wonderful lesson about letting go, about, you know, in the physical. And then last week we said, you know, there's something deeper, though, in the heart and soul of us. And that was looking at what are those thoughts? What are those beliefs? What are those resentments? What are those old ways of thinking and being? And then letting this energy of forgiveness move in and through so that we could open up to receive even more good on this very subtle level, the spiritual, the emotional level of our being, which, when you think about it, is what? It's how we go through the world. Our emotional and our spiritual nature, based on where we are there, this is how we operate in the world. That decides the general feeling tone, another way to say it is, the vibrational frequency of our lives, right? Even Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is within you, and this is what we want to live from, this kingdom of heaven. But if we're piling up resentments and angers and who's wrong and judging everybody, that kingdom gets all covered up. So forgiveness is what frees, right? So that's important to get to this day, because today is about counting the blessings, counting the blessings. Say with me, I count my blessings together. I count my blessings. Do you guys know that song about counting your blessings instead of sheep? Yeah, that's old jazz tune, yeah. About counting your blessings instead of sheep, yeah. So at night, if you can't sleep, just start counting those blessings. What a wonderful way to go to sleep at night. So, well, today I want to bring you some really important information about what gratitude can do in your life. And number one is the wisdom of the ages, the wisdom of the ages. I wanted to really, sometimes when I'm speaking, you know, I'm talking so much about unity and I talk so much about my own path and my own journey. And of course, all the things I'm talking about, I got there through these ancient teachings. And so it's important to give those value and to kind of lift those up, because all the spiritual teachings we teach here are really an ancient wisdom that we're giving modern relevance to. Right? I still think that's a talk I should do. Somebody write that down. Ancient wisdom, modern relevance. Okay? Because everything we're teaching now is a bringing forward of this ancient wisdom. I mean, millennia old. It's not new. Now, our church, Unity, is a part of the New Thought Movement, which is only about 150 years old. But it's based on the teachings of old. Right, so this is not some newfangled thing somebody thought up. This is based on ancient wisdom. And many people call unity a return to first century Christianity. Right? Okay. So let's look. So what I did is there's about three different quotes I just wanted to give you to introduce what we're doing today. So let's look at the first one. This is from Mark chapter 9, verse 23, and this is from the New Revised Standard. It says, Jesus said to him, if you are able, all things can be done for the one who believes. All right. For the one who believes. This is giving us a clue into the thoughts and the feelings we put behind things, right? It's about belief. It's about belief. Anything can be done for the one who believes. Okay, very good. Let's go to the next one. This is from the book of Job, believe it or not. You will decide on a matter, and it will be established for you, and light will shine on your ways. Now, it says, you will decide on a matter. Doesn't it? Say, look at the person next to you. Say, it says, you will. It says, you will. Right, you will decide on a matter. Not somebody else will, not God will, not Jesus will. You will. You will. In other words, when you speak the word, when you decide, you have the power of the whole universe behind you to manifest this thing. You will decide upon a matter. You will. The number one issue, and for some reason, this keeps coming up in the work I'm doing with people one-on-one. It keeps coming up in class. We forget how powerful we are. You know, every time I'm talking with somebody and they say, well, I'm not quite bringing in the vision I want. I said, well, tell me what it is you're working towards. Well, I know right then and there, that's the problem. That's the first problem anyway. If you don't know what you're bringing forward, how can you know if you get it? Right? And so the universe says, okay, I'm going to send you well, universe goes, okay. In Brazil, what's that? That's maize, maize. Maize, maize. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I love that because anybody, when I was there, anybody who said it always did, like, maize, maize. Yeah, well, there's no energy there, right? But see, this says there's a decision that's been made. In other words, there's a clarity. Do that again. Decide. Is that the sign language? Come up front and do that for everybody. Because this might be nice when we make a decision to do that. I like that movement. Decide. Is that that's a D, isn't it? Is that why? Oh, that's a D. Okay, good. Decide. Okay, very good. Decide. In other words, there's a clarity there. The scriptures say, let your yes be yes and what? Your no be no. So in other words, when you decide on one thing, you're saying no to something else. Right? If you're saying yes to love, you're saying no to drama weirdness. Right? If you're saying yes to clarity, if something comes to you unclear, you know that's a no. Karen Drucker, a New Thought artist, has a song called The Word No Is My New Yes. I like that because as you say no to something, you're creating a yes towards something else, right? So you decide your yes and your no, right? And so then the light will shine on your ways. Okay, very good. Let's go. One more. I think there was one more, right? I kind of got carried away. I said three is probably all they can handle. Because of your likeness to your creator, you are creative. This is from A Course in Miracles. Because of your likeness to your creator, you are creative. In other words, you are the creative force in the universe because God was before you. And you are made in the image and likeness of God. Right? So you are creative. Say with me, I am creative. Together, I am creative. And it is the power of our word that makes it so. Mostly we just think about things and we think and think and think. You guys have heard of analysis paralysis, right? It never goes anywhere. It just kind of goes in circles. But as soon as you get clear and as soon as you say, you just, as it says, decree a thing, right? As you decide on a thing, suddenly now, the energy becomes clear and you are creating something. But I have noticed, without writing it down and or saying it, bringing it forward is very, very difficult. Even when you are writing it down and speaking the word, sometimes bringing in a new consciousness is arduous. Without it, it's not even possible. This is what years of experience have taught me. So the wisdom of the ages say what? If you believe, If you make a decision, you are creative. You have the power to create more good in your life. Amen? Say, I have the power. Do it. I have the power. That's pretty good. It's pretty good. We need some backup. We need like a backbeat or something next time. Okay, let's go to our next. Okay. So there is, obviously, with those last slides, we know there's a relationship between thought and personal experience. It's kind of strange that growing up we don't learn this, that there's a connection between thought and personal experience. In other words, perspective is everything. What you think about something makes it so. Now, there are things happening in the world, right, that we certainly have thoughts about. We're not responsible for other realities. We're responsible for our own. So what we forget is that not only thought, but with the energy with which we think about a thing, move forward, and then move into action is really, really important. Right? So everything in your life right now is a result of your thoughts and the emotions you've put into place long before now, and now you're seeing the manifestation. Right? So when we're talking about gratitude, we're talking about it in this way. And you're probably going, what are you building up to? Well, I'm building up to, what are you seeing in front of you? Some people think of gratitude of, oh, well, I don't have it as bad as them. I should be grateful. That's not gratitude. That's pity. Gratitude is, I see my situation. I give thanks for what is happening right now. I call the good forth in my life. There is no comparison. Comparison does not serve you at all. And it also puts you in a one-up position over someone else. You say, well, I don't have it as bad as them. And they're going, I don't have it as bad as her. It's not about comparison. Gratitude is about looking at what's going on in your life, counting the blessings right here, right now, learning to have an appreciation for what's happening because it has far-reaching impacts. And that's the thing I think we don't understand. Let's look at the next slide. The power of gratitude is major to shift aspects of your life. Let's say that again. The power of gratitude is major to be able to shift aspects of your life. Bless you. Don't you always want to sneeze in church now? So many blessings. So gratitude is honoring, giving thanks for what's happening right now. And sometimes it's surfacey, like, thank you, God, for this. Like we teach our little ones. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for mommy. Thank you, God, for daddy. Thank you, God, for my brother. Thank you, God. Right? And then as we get older, we're noticing other things to give thanks for. But the deeper level I like to go is like, thank you, God, for clothing me with infinite abundance. Thank you, God, for clothing me with radiance. Thank you, God, for the growth that I'm going through right now, even though it's hard. So I give thanks, God. I give thanks for everything that's happening, even though I don't understand. Thank you, God. And when we can add emotion and energy to that gratitude, that's when things begin to shift. That's when things begin to shift. It's amazing. I've been on this thing the last couple of weeks where, for some reason, I've done a lot of calls to government offices. I'm not sure why. I won't go into the details. But or checking out something on a bill, like having to call OUC or Spectrum or AT&T or all those. Going to the grocery store, whatever. Like, it seems like my life for the last 2 weeks has been one thing like that after another to, like, take care of. New programs I'm trying to learn. And then I got to call the helpline. Okay, I'm going to learn this. I'm going to do it. So something's happened where in every interaction, I just end up getting the, like, most beautiful, helpful person ever. So then I ask for their manager. And I say to the person, this is one of them was at AAA. I'm a big believer in AAA. I love AAA. So, and I have, like, forever had AAA. As a matter of fact, in college, I had it one time, and they said, sweetie, you need a new car. You've called us 4 times this year. Okay. Anyway. That was in college when I couldn't afford a mechanic. I was fixing my own car, so, you know. But I was able to get that starter in with my trumpet player friend. Anyway, I don't know if he ever forgave me, though, for how he bruised himself on that one thing with the starter. But anyways, so when I was on the phone with her, she was just like, light, light, love, love. I mean, it was just so beautiful. And I said, you know, I want to tell you something. I said, they asked me at the beginning, would you be willing to take a survey? And I was thinking, no, I do not have time for a survey. Everything now, it's like Amazon. It's like I ordered a tiny little thing. Why would I possibly want to give you a review? It's an extension cord. It's an extension cord. I've got to review the seller and the shipper and the guy who would think, oh, okay. So when I got this on the AAA, I was like, oh, no, I do not want to do a survey. No, one, go right to the person. Well, this woman was so great that I said, you know what? I think I screwed up because at the beginning, it said, do you want to do a survey? And I said, and I was thinking, H, no, I don't want to do a survey. I don't want to do a survey because I don't have time. It's a really busy day. And I said, and then I got on the phone with you and I felt like I had all this time and God was taking care of me and you were just helping me out. And she said, oh, thank you. We can't do that. I said, well, do you have a manager nearby? She said, well, I do have a manager. I said, get them on the phone. I will wait. If they have to call me back, I want them to call me back. So I had this great conversation with her manager. And I said, I just want you to know, if there was any way I could hire her to work where I work, we would do that. Because she took all the care in the world. I felt special with every interaction, and I knew it was taken care of. So that started all this stuff, all these gratitude moments with people. And it happened last night in Publix. Who helps you buy basics like toilet paper? But there was a woman there. There was a woman there, and she said, honey, what do you need? I said, well, I just saw you help that guy, and I want you to help me the same way. She said, here is exactly what you need, honey. What else? It was just she went above and beyond to go the next step. So I went to her manager, and I said the same thing. So this is like the fourth or fifth time. And so what happens, because I keep giving thanks, that keeps happening more. I've never in my life, in a short amount of time, have ever talked to so many managers. And they're saying to me, thank you so much. What do you think I'm going to say? All I ever hear is what? Complaints. All I ever hear is what? Negative. So not only am I making their day, I'm making my day, and I'm making the employee's day. Just because I'm saying thank you. It's like the energy shifts. That's the power of gratitude. And so now all those people that I talk to, don't you think they want to help me the next time? You know, that's the second time that woman in Publix helped me. Amazing. I said, you're underemployed. I said, you need the next job up. You need the next job up. I'm going to tell your manager that. You need the next job up. All right, so just think about that. What's a way that you're not really utilizing gratitude? So I didn't do it for me, but what happened is a lot of energy is coming my way. That's beautiful, that's abundant, that's friendly, that's supportive. So that's the power of gratitude. So there are also a lot of impacts. Sorry, I forgot about that. Yeah, I wanted to quote David Owen Ritz because this is his series, and I wanted to really honor him for this. He says, that which you focus and dwell upon with a feeling of love and gratitude, you will tend to multiply and attract. Right, we said all that. But I've often said it this way. Gratitude is the great multiplier. And we know that from the story in the Bible where Jesus held up the bread, gave thanks, broke it, and suddenly everybody was fed. Yeah, it's called the feeding of the 5,000. There's also in another scripture, a feeding of the 4,000, exact same story. By the way, that story is in all four Gospels. The birth story is not even in all four Gospels, friends. So that's important. We got to get this one. Okay, now we go to the next slide. I thought the brain slide. There we go. This is what we call the grateful brain. And the grateful brain... I wanted to lift up some research because I've really learned the value of seeing what science has to say about what we believe. And over and over and over, what I see is that these two are dovetailing now more than ever before. And so there were some American researchers that did a study on the impacts of gratitude, like on general well-being and health. And then there were some Chinese researchers that did study. It was actually a sleep study on did gratitude help you sleep better? And in both cases, of course, the answer is yes. In the American researchers' study, people that used gratitude on a regular basis had more energy, more dynamism, more enthusiasm, more determination to get things done. They felt more in the flow. They were happier. It was just that simple. Like, right, life seemed better than the people who didn't use gratitude in this way. And then in the Chinese researchers, in their study, they noticed that people who use gratitude on a regular basis had less anxiety and therefore better sleep. Right, so we've talked about many times in the past that the founders of Unity, Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, used gratitude on a regular basis. And Myrtle Fillmore used to take every, she would name and bless every part of her body, giving thanks. She did this because she was given a terminal illness. And in those days, there wasn't treatments like we have today. It was tuberculosis. And through the power of meditation, of affirmation, and using gratitude, she would bless every part of her body. She lived well into her 80s. She credits meditation, affirmation, and gratitude for that. Again, we know from time gone past, gratitude is a powerful, powerful tool. Now science is proving that. I want my brain lit up like that, don't you? Looks good. Very good, very good. Last thing I want to speak about is I like to think of, and David Owen Ritz calls it, proactive gratitude. You know what that means? That means I give thanks in advance. I give thanks in advance. Say that with me. I give thanks in advance. That means if I want a job, here's my affirmation. Thank you, God, for the right and perfect job that you're bringing to me now. I give thanks in advance for all the right and perfect living space that I'm looking for right now. Thank you, God, that my son has drawing to himself all the right supporters, all the right teachers, all the right mentors, so he grows up to be a man of God who knows his place in the world. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You know, I was in this practice. I started this about, let's see, I think it was about 7 or 8 years ago. So my son was about 4 when I started. And I decided to do some work, a vision work, for how I want him to see me. Okay, so stay with me. How I want him to see me on my deathbed. What would he say? What would he say? And I wrote it out. I wrote out everything I would want him to say. That was interesting. Because I said, if he's going to get there, it gave me a real roadmap, you know, for what I'm to do. And part of my practice was to, on a regular basis, ask him how I'm doing. As his mom, I just ask him, and then I don't have any reaction. I just write it down. And I had set that notebook aside for a while, and I was looking through some stuff last night, and I ran into it again. And I shared it with him. He's 12. I told him exactly what it was. I've been working this his whole life, and I asked him, how was I doing? And he told me. And we both agreed the thing I could work on. We thought the same thing. But I gave thanks years ago, and all of what he was saying to me were gratitudes. Isn't that interesting? Giving thanks in advance is so powerful. Giving thanks in advance is so powerful. It's like it calls us up and out into something bigger. It calls us up and out into something bigger. I give thanks in advance. Say that with me. I give thanks in advance.
Thank you for listening to the weekly message here on the Experience of the Soul podcast channel. This channel is made possible through the continued support of our angel patrons, Dove Borland, Peter Gibson, Paul Caswell, Arlene Meyer, Kathy and Terry, Marcia Mott, Nora Miles, Diana Cox, Leslie Williams, Susanna Garcia, Shayla Mount, Dorothy Moore, and Agnes Payton. along with our partner patrons, Natural Awakenings Magazine, Unity of Nashville, and Zen Living Realty. If you would like to support the channel as a patron on an ongoing basis or through a one-time gift, head over to experienceofthesoul.com/support. The weekly message is copyright 2020 CCU Orlando, all rights reserved. Our theme music is composed by Shannon Croft and used with permission. The Experience of the Soul podcast channel is a production of 818 Studios.